covenant of salt, Numbers chapter 18, verse 1 to 32. Four thoughts: gift of service, verse 1 to 7. Gift of sustenance, verse 8 to 24. Gift of thanksgiving, verse 25 to 31. Guard against unfaithfulness, verse 32. With the confirmation of the almond rod that budded, God conferred the work of the priesthood to the Levites, in particular Aaron and his descendants. God made a covenant with the Levites. Verse 19 of our text says, all the heave offering of the holy things which the children of Israel offered unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. The covenant of salt, Adam Clark said well, is an incorruptible, everlasting covenant. As salt was added to different kinds of viands, not only to give them a relish, but to preserve them from petrification and decay, it became the emblem of incorruptibility and permanence. Hence, a covenant of salt signifies an everlasting covenant. And we have seen that, Adam Clark observed, among the Asiatics, among the Asians, eating together was deemed a bond of perpetual friendship. And as salt was a common article of in all their repasts, it may be in reference to this circumstance that a perpetual covenant is termed a covenant of salt, because the parties ate together of the sacrifice offered on the occasion, and the whole transaction was considered a leap of endless friendship. What was that friendship? It was a friendship between God and his people, facilitated by the priest. So they brought their offerings to God. Today we don't bring animal sacrifices for this, but here you see that tithes that are given are not confined, we said, to monetary gifts. They are in some places where the people, for lack of monetary supply for themselves, they would bring produce from their own garden, produce from their own. So as it was, this will be the sustenance that will be given for his church. And the Lord said unto Aaron, verse 1 to 7, the gift of service, that's the first thought. Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, shall thou bring with thee, that they may join with thee and minister unto thee before the tabernacle of witness. John Calvin, inside Pulley, said, by this solemn appeal, God stirs up the priests to devote themselves to their duty with the greatest fidelity and zeal. For he declares that if anything should be done contrary to the requirements of religion, they should be accounted guilty of it, since those that sit to bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, who sustain the crime and the punishment of all its pollutions, God would have the sanctuary kept clear from every stain and defect, and also the dignity of the priesthood was to be maintained in chastity and pureness. A heavy burden, therefore, was imposed upon the priests when they were set over the holy things as their guardians, on this condition that if anything were done amiss, they were to be exposed to punishment, because the blame rested on them. Just as if God had said that negligence alone was tantamount to sacrilege, thus their honor conjoined with it, Calvin says, was with so much difficulty and danger, was by no means to be envied. So it's not a job that one takes upon himself to say, oh, I fancy to do this because it is good to do. But it is of the Lord. So you see, for God had to affirm and confirm through the rod that budded, so that the other tribes in Israel would submit to the will of God in this matter. And God admonished them that the legal rights were of no trifling importance, since he was so severely avenged all profanations of them. For thus it was easily to be gathered that something far more excellent and altogether divine was to be sought for in this earthly element. So there is indeed work that are sacred, and in the church today this work is entrusted to pastors. God's worship is to be brought in holiness, in purity. And if that is not so, then the welfare of the people would be endangered, because they are put in care, entrusted to these things. And so how is it that Aaron and the tribe of Levi is to be sustained? Well, God puts it, tells them, the gift of sustenance, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Aaron, behold, I have also given thee the charge of my heap offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine, of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offerings of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. And in the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee, and this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statutes forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it, all the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, of the wheat, and the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. So you see that when God consecrated the priesthood, he also made sure that they are taken care of. So God's provision for Aaron and his family will be the offering, the tithes of the people. The Levites will have no land. You remember last Lord's Day, we were looking at Genesis 49 and verse 5 to 7 concerning Levi and Simeon, how they were instruments of cruelty, and how the Lord they slew the Hivites, the people, Shechem and the entire city, and how the Lord's anger was upon them, the wrath of God was upon them. The Lord said, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So the Levites were scattered, but you see that there is also the tribe of Simeon. Right? Simeon, as we mentioned earlier, became a very small, subservient tribe. They are placed beside Judah, right, for the work that is done. And you see a difference with the Levites. For the Levites, right, you see that God's grace came upon them, and they were able to serve with much zeal. Of course, for those who do not, who played the fool, the Lord also dealt with them. And so here, you recall, we also gave the example of two persons who attend the church, right? One who attends the church every Sunday, lives a tidy, respectable life in a middle class street, but he's doing little or nothing for the kingdom of God. As far as anyone can see, the only difference between this person and his neighbors is church attendance. There's nothing sacrificial, vibrant, or noticeable in his Christianity. Whereas there is another person who spent half a life wasted in abuse of alcohol, immorality, shame of all kind, and what deep stains came upon such a one. But now, in the regeneration, You see how eager and hungry for the living word of God. You can see that there is real first fruit of real godliness and tears of repentance, and also that there are fruits, fruit of repentance that is seen. So we see here, as the people would come and give their produce, they will be for the priest's sustenance. Verse 10, it says, "In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offering of the children of Israel. I will give thee for a statute forever, all the best of oil, all the best of wine, of wheat, of the first fruit, they shall offer unto the Lord. Them have I given thee." You recall in the book of Zechariah that there was a situation when the children of Israel returned to Israel, but the temple they did not build. They went out, built their own houses, and the Lord said to them that you kept for yourself, heap for yourselves those things whereby you cannot keep, for your pocket would have holes. they leak, and so here the Lord says that there will be provision made, all the best of oil, best of wine or wheat, first fruits of them which they offer unto the Lord, them will I have I given thee. Why was it like that? "And whatsoever the first ripe of in the land shall be given unto the Lord shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine." This is because the priests have no land. In other words, they have no other means of sustenance. All their time they are spent in the tabernacle following the service. So God had to make provision for them so that the people may, through the work of the priesthood, come nigh in the worship of God and to bring their various offerings for trespasses and thanksgiving. So a tenth part in Israel will be the inheritance of the Levites. Verse 21 says, "And behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. But the tithes of the children of Israel which they offer shall have a heave offering unto the Lord, and I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore have I said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." So what was the inheritance for the Levites? Well, it was the 10% of the inheritance of the children of Israel that will be given to the Levites. And what would be the response? The third thought from verse 25 to 31, the gift of thanksgiving. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Fast speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them of your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even the tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were corn of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress." So the Levites in turn are to offer a tenth of all that they have received in thanksgiving to the Lord. When the Levites had thus paid the tenth of their income as a heave offering to the Lord, they had themselves the comfortable enjoyment of the other nine parts. When you have thus heaved the best of it, for still God's part must be the best, then you shall eat the rest, not as the holy thing, but with the same freedom that the other Israelites eat their part with in every place, you and your household. See here, what is the way to have comfort of all our earthly possessions so as to bear no sin by reason of them? Well, it follows in verse 32. We must be sure that what we have got honestly and in the service of the Lord, it is your reward, your service, that meat is the best eating that is first earn, but if any will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou be fed, dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And it seemed to be spoken as of as having a particular comfort and satisfaction in it, which is the reward of faithful service done in the tabernacle of the congregation. We must be sure that God has his dues of it. Then we have the comfort of our sustenance when we have honored the Lord with it. Then you shall bear no sin by reason of it when ye have heaved the best of it. This intimates that we must never feed ourselves without fear, lest our table become a snare. We bear sin by reason of it, and therefore we are concerned to give alms of such things as we have, that all may be clean and comfortable to us. So this was the admonition that was given through Matthew Henry. And the fourth thought, guard against unfaithfulness. Verse 32 says, and ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaped from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. The exhortation here is to faithfulness. With the death of two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, as a result of drunkenness, you remember, as a warning. But the Lord, so in conclusion, we said, may the Lord bless and strengthen his people in Israel's theocracy, right, where God rules, and this was God's order for us. And we thank the Lord that he has granted to us peace and joy to serve him, to follow him. This was God's way, and we thank the Lord that there is a way by which we can approach God. And we thank the Lord that he has given us the way by which we are able to serve him and find a valuable work for eternity. May the Lord strengthen us by his grace. Let us pray. Father, we ask that thou be gracious to bless us with our peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.